going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual, the winter warm-up edition, as there are Cardinal players in St. Louis just not swinging bats and throwing pitches, but they'll be here soon enough. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me as always, Alan Medlock from AMedlock1 on Twitter, Red Dart Redbird at the Conclave. Alan, not a whole lot going on this week. Before we get into winter warm-up stuff, early in the week, there was, felt like, a lot of momentum for our Cardinals-Rockies trade. That kind of went by the window. I think everything, all the oxygen in baseball got sucked out of the room when the Astros thing came down. But, you know, Mo's on the stage today, not ruling it out, not saying it's going to happen. I don't know. I know we talked about it a lot last week, but did this week change your mind on anything?
Not necessarily. There was, before the scandal, before those punishments were handed down, I will tell you, I did text a friend of mine, and he asked me, he was kind of asking, what are the chances of this happening? And I said, well, I will say with the Cardinals that I've said all along that it's a long shot, but there's enough smoke now that makes me think that there may be more talk going on than we thought. And I go, and that may kind of move the needle a little bit for me. Like I said, there's just so much to get done on that I could almost see it being a more of a all-star break type move, just because of all the hurdles that they're going to have to clear to do that. But I feel like there's been enough length now that we know that there's been some probably pretty heady conversation. Then it turns into makes you truly think, what's the motivation and under what manner do the Rockies want to see this get done? And that's meaning, you know, you just signed the deal a year ago. How bad do you want to get out of it? You know, the opt-out was your idea. So how bad do you want to get out of it? You know, one of those things, and that's just scratching the surface of the problems that may arise in any deal. But it's fairly clear that there's been some pretty decent conversation about it. I don't know if my opinion was changed much this week, other than to think that, man, there may be more to this than what I initially wanted to believe. But yeah, you're right. The information dump that was the scandal punishment really elapsed and crushed everything else going on this week.
Yeah, it really, really did. You know, I guess, you know, you get excited when you see reports of them exchanging names, whether that means anything at all or if that even happened, you never know. But, you know, that kind of thing means that they're doing, if it's true, means that they're doing more than just general talk about, hey, do you want to move him and all that kind of stuff. But yep. I do think, you're kind of like you were saying, I think this week more than anything, the idea of motivation got brought up a lot. And if, you know, who's wanting to move them? Why are they wanting to move them? Are they moving him to jumpstart a rebuild, to, you know, get an infusion of current talent? Are they trying to move him just to get rid of payroll? Are they moving him because he wants to move? You know, I mean, all these things that we don't know. You know, and again, it takes both sides. And if the Rockies aren't extremely motivated, if they're just kind of seeing what they can get, it's hard to fault the Cardinals for not making a trade that the Rockies don't necessarily make. But, you know, we don't necessarily know that either. The fact that it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of other teams involved. I mean, you know, we've heard the Rangers. We've even heard the Cubs. We've heard the Braves, maybe, especially now that Donaldson's off the board. but none of those teams, as far as I can tell, are that active in it. And that may mean that the Rockies just aren't that motivated to move him. And I don't know. You know, there is that argument that getting him into a spring training could be kind of awkward.
At this point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially since they have spent, you know, no money on bringing anybody in this year. They have in a team that, you know, what was well under expectations last year. And they haven't done necessarily anything to solve that. And they're still in a division with the Dodgers and, you know, the Padres probably getting better and Diamondbacks are up there. So, you know, it's a tough division to be in as well. So I don't know. Again, it's just one of those things you kind of wait and watch and you kind of hope, you know, Monday and Tuesday, I think we just kept refreshing and trying to get some new information. And
yeah,
that after the commissioner's report came out, that pretty much took care of that. You haven't really heard much more since then.
As far as some of the information that was put out about it, I will say that I listened to quite a bit of Bruce Levine on the Saturday mornings. They do a show out of Chicago, 9 a.m. You know, I stream it just because I usually – so kind of the only baseball you can get in the off season and Saturdays – kind of a look into the other team's playbook a little bit, and you can hear some pretty good rumors on that by Levine and the co-host. But when that information came out, I thought that was strange for him to know some of the names that had been involved, because the match didn't seem that clear with some of the names that he put out. And then for him to come out and make the statement about moving Bryant to center and Arenado, you know, making that move over, I get the feeling, and we've said this two or three years in a row, that I'm not so certain Chicago is wanting to take on payroll right now. And, you know, not at all. You get the feeling that it's not at all. But if they were to do something stupid and say, hey, that tax doesn't mean anything to us. I mean, we're in this deep. Let's go ahead and do something. I think it's so unlikely that that's going to happen that report almost made the report of the Cardinals names that would go that had been discussed seemed outlandish a little bit.
It seemed outlandish in general.
That just doesn't make a lot of sense. So when that came out, I was like, I don't know, the credibility kind of flies out the window in that situation. And then later in the week, I don't know if you had a chance to read any of it, but Tracy Rigglesby talked about a lot of the story coming out that Nolan wants to be traded stemmed from a situation where he said it felt like a rebuild. And he had a story, and I'm sorry, I can't think of where to find it, but it was something along the lines of, this is maybe getting blown out of proportion a little bit from that one comment. And that I can't argue one way or the other, but I read Rigglesby quite a bit, and he's probably one of the better ones at, you know, some information coming from a situation like this. So I think you can draw a dim line between the comments of, you know, what one means to the other, which may not mean anything at all, but it just kind of shows the information that's out there and how easy it is to attain and how ridiculous some of it can be.
Yeah. Hang on. I want to look something out. Okay, Rockies Fan Fest is scheduled for next weekend. So Nolan's going to have a good chance to say some stuff next week. Because you're right, that's one thing we haven't heard from. Now, it's a little bit surprising that in all this, there hasn't been some sort of statement, one way or another, from Arenado. You know, hey, I want to stay. Hey, this is, you know, blown out of proportion, or hey, I'd really, you know, I want to win and I'd like to win in Colorado, but if that's not it, you know, whatever the statement, I haven't seen anything in all this that's come straight from him. And so next weekend could be the best chance to hear that. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people asking some questions of him, and we'll see how he answers them. I mean, now, you know, again, it's not like he's going to come out and say, I'd like to go to St. Louis, but, you know, the way he phrases things and the way he talks about things, you might get an idea. You know, if he says, hey, I'm happy here and, you know, I've got two more years and I plan on being here, then chances are that that deal that he's not going to get moved, unless they're at least not now. You know, if they're terrible at the trade deadline, then you know maybe they go back at it. But if he's kind of showing a little bit of impatience next week of, man, I really, you know, really wish we could have, you know, done something, or, you know, I hope that, you know, hope the management will help us out, or something like that, then, you know, maybe that's a little bit more of trying to win and wanting to get out of town.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Just, I love these fest. I love the fan fest right now, just because you do, you sure get a whole lot of information out of whatever camp that you like to follow. It's funny because it almost turns into like a political climate type situation, to where, you know, the fan base for is approving of everything that's said. The fan base against is, you know, it wants to poo-poo on everything right away. Like, I really thought that there were some really telling things that came out of the Chicago stuff today. And I know that you weren't on social media much, but it was funny. Nothing headliner or anything like that, but just some of the reactions, the thing that were said on the Cubs side of it was rather interesting. Not on the Arenado deal, but what was happening at their fan fest this weekend. You know,
well, so, I heard some sort of statement that they, maybe it was Jed Hoyer, that said, you know, basically they're not going to be able to extend their core guys.
Yeah, he said we're past that. We've missed that window.
Which is really interesting. Somebody pointed out this week, man, it may have been Craig Edwards. I'm not 100% sure, but it was in the relation, you know, the Houston was, a $5 million fine along with all the other stuff. And everybody's talking about how that wasn't that much, but, you know, he pointed out that I think everybody that's going to be paying tax this year, the Cubs, the Yankees, you know, the Dodgers, whoever, Boston, I think is the other one, they're paying like, I think one team is paying $10 million. Everybody else is paying less than that. You know, when you really start looking at that as taxes, it doesn't need to be that much. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't want to spend it, but boy, it really wouldn't break the bank for some of those teams to do that, especially 1 year. So it is. And again, as people pointed out, if I was a Cubs fan, and I'd be, well, one, if I was a Cubs fan, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'd live myself. But, you know, the fact that they're taking their team and they're setting up a new TV network. And
yeah,
I think that I saw that somebody said they've raised their ticket prices again, and all that put together. And then you're not going to be able to, you know, keep guys like Chris Bryant and Javi Baez and people that you've come to know. Boy, I don't know how excited I'd be about watching the Cubs after that.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up. It leads me to this point. I don't know if you've seen the clip of, you know, Tom Ricketts is making an announcement of that network, and he gets booed. And I could see there being some, you know, air taken out of the room if that were to happen with Bill DeWitt, but it wouldn't have gone down like that. No. And I thought that was really funny. I was like, wow, man, that's a pretty bad situation. And you're right. You know, it's amazing to me that Chicago can't afford to do some of these things. You know what I mean? Outside of, you know, New York and Houston and Chicago, you would think Chicago is one of those teams that have maybe endless amounts of money. And it's really weird because I feel like whether it's the players' union's fault, whether it's ownership's fault, or Major League Baseball's fault, there seems like there's quite a bit of scorched earth between Bryant and the Cubs. And that's amazing to me.
Well, I mean, it started out bad. I mean, we're talking about that grievance. I mean, this grievance has been hanging out there for I don't know how long. It's been months at least since we've been waiting on a decision on this thing.
But sure.
Just the idea that they jimmied around his, you know, his service time, which, I mean, again, a lot of teams do that. I do think it's nice that the Cardinals don't typically do that.
Yeah.
But so many teams have done that over the last.
Sure. That's why I prefaced the statement that I made, is that I'm not sure who's to blame for this, but the Cubs are going to get the short end of the stick. But I in complete agreement with you. I just want to kind of clear that up.
Yeah. And I just think, I know he's not going to win this grievance although the fact that it's taking forever, maybe that adds to the idea that he might. But just imagine if he did and he becomes a free agent, what, at the end of this year?
Yeah.
I mean, that changes a lot of things. And if the Cubs aren't going to be able to keep him, you know, not that this necessarily affects the Cardinals, except for the fact that it may make, you know, the division a little bit easier, because if the Cubs send Chris Bryant to Atlanta, well, you know, that's a lot less times that the Cardinals have to see him, and that's sure. That's usually a pretty good thing. Although I think they've done all right against Bryant. It's yeah. Rizzo and Baez that seem to always hurt him.
Yeah, I can't hide the fact that you know, I'm sure there's numbers out there at the point that he hasn't been as good as we thought he would be, but he has been Rookie of the Year and an MVP. And if he's a free agent in a year, that's one conversation I would hope the Cardinals would have. You can play him in several different positions.
Yeah, but if they get a Nolan Arenado at third base, that probably takes him out of a lot of
discussion. Well, I think that my statement alone right now, I think you can probably tell where you feel I'm going in that Arenado deal.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, I'm holding out hope on that one because I do think it makes him – it's a good matchup. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different – and I don't know. It would be – of course, you know, it'd be very interesting for Chris Bryant to come to play in such a boring town. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think that, you know, again, I don't expect that to happen. I expect that he's going to have an extra year. I don't know if that means that the Cubs won't trade him anyway.
Yeah, I think that there's probably more likelihood that they do.
They get more for him, for sure. Yeah. I wonder if he might. But I'm wondering, I mean, we are getting to – you know, this time of year, we're getting to less than a month from spring training and pitchers and catchers and all that fun stuff. I wonder if that's one of those things where if the Cubs stumble this year, which is possible, that he's a deadline guy instead of now. I don't know. That would be really interesting to see this. I mean, and again, it's just very interesting to see this Cubs team that was supposed to be this dynasty. You know, they got the World Series and that's amazing for them, but you know, it's not been what they thought it was going to be, and now the bill is starting to come due, you know, for all the money they've
I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. I've always said that you make a deal with the devil and it's going to come due, and it's you know, here's a situation where I felt like the mayor of Chicago was going to be the manager that won the World Series, and he's in Anaheim, and I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't have more than a, you know, 2-year honeymoon, basically on the three, I guess, on winning the first World Series in over a century, you know, but one, that's kind of indicative of what society is today, but you know, two, that just kind of means things have gone south, and they have. I mean, for the fact that I was, you know, getting ready for the Playing Pepper series and I was starting to look at records, and I didn't realize, you know, the Cubs only won 84 games last year. I mean, they barely finished over 500, and that team should be better than that. But, you know, they've not developed pitching, and they've given away a lot of their young talent, and they've hamstrung themselves. You know, I know that they probably are wishing the Cardinals had beat them on Jason Hayward. And we're very glad that he didn't nowadays. But, you know, just to see that, you know, just to see that not turn into anything long term is, I mean, it's great for us, but it's got to be tough for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to feel bad in that situation, but you know, I'm in agreement with you on that. It's funny how things fall apart so quickly.
Oh,
and I do have a hypothetical question for you, though. Mm-hmm. Would we have hated the Hayward deal?
Would we what?
Have hated a Hayward deal?
We would hate it now.
You think?
Yeah.
How so?
I mean, I think we look at what Dexter Fowler's doing.
Well, and
Fowler, I mean, I know Hayward's done more than that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's lived up to the contract that the Cubs have given him.
But I almost think it was impossible for him to do that with any of that contract he was going to make up. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's true.
But I will tell you, think about this. We hear a lot of griping about Fowler, But I will say, if you had an elite right fielder like Hayward and Bader, you probably wouldn't need to hit as much.
Maybe. Of course, nobody else is hitting either, so that's the problem.
Well, that's always going to be the problem with
it. Yeah, that is. You're right. I mean, for sure. I mean, that's kind of why sometimes you get beat up on because your team's not doing. You know, maybe, but I mean.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. That is a contract I wouldn't have wanted to take on. And I kind of felt that way anyway. But when we look at it and say, boy, that would have hamstrung them. But I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm not so sure it would have at this point, because I think expectations would have done him in, you know, because everybody assumed that he was going to be able to hit, and he never really has. But or hasn't hit to where somebody his size probably profiles out that could. But then I look back and I'm thinking, man, just think if you'd had him in right field this year instead of Fowler, and that it probably made quite a bit of difference.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, look, Jason Hayward should be a Chicago legend, right? I mean, he gave this big speech that got them, you know, to rally and win the World Series.
Yeah,
and I don't feel like, I mean, I don't know, I haven't talked to any Cub fans about it, so I could be wrong, but I don't feel like he has some sort of cachet in Chicago.
No, and obviously, I mean, we've seen quite a few lineups that in big games that he wasn't in.
Yeah, and that's tough. I mean, especially when you're paying the big contract. I mean, he had two opt-outs, didn't take either one of them because you're going to get it on the free agent market. You know, I think there would be, I mean, I think we've seen enough of what have you done for me lately, which is, again, that's everywhere. That, you know, I mean, would he hamstrung the team as much? I don't know. I mean, it's depend. They would, if nothing else, they could use that as an excuse. But he probably, and it, you know, it would have been something difficult. I don't know that they would have gone out and traded for Paul Goldschmidt if they had Jason Hayward on.
Well, now that you're getting, that would have been, that makes a difference.
Yeah, and it does. But, you know,
I would rather have Goldschmidt than Hayward, but that, I don't want it to sound like that at all.
Yeah. I just know how people are, especially, you know, the Twitter groups and all that kind of stuff. You know, Hayward had enough trouble when he was here that one year.
Yeah.
You know, and he had a good year. When you look at his WAR and all that kind of stuff, he just, you know, people didn't necessarily appreciate it, or he could have been better. Felt like he could have been better, whatever. So for him to have struggled like he has last little bit, and again, he's been playing in a ballpark that's conducive to hitting. Bush Stadium isn't, so he could have been even worse. Yeah.
Well, and there's a part of me too with the Hayward, and this may be me, you know, patting the front office on the back more than I should. I know that we hear that the money was comparable to what he signed for in Chicago. I don't know whether I fully believe that or not. I don't think it was an embarrassing deal, whatever they offered him. But I do wonder if the Cardinals maybe made an offer more conducive to what he excelled at. As a defensive right fielder with not as much power as perceived, and, you know, well, more than what he was worth, where the Cubs brought him in because he may have been one of the last pieces. You know what I mean? And paid probably more than they should have for him.
I want to say I remember Derek Gould basically talking to Hayward and saying, you know, were the Cardinals hung up on a second opt-out? And he's basically what it sounded like is Hayward's like, the Cardinals would have given me whatever I wanted. I never asked them. It was, you know, that was that kind of situation where it felt like, at least in those reports soon, you know, in 2016, I guess, that he was not coming back. All he was doing was maybe using St. Louis as some leverage against other people, but he didn't have enough oomph wanting to come back to make the Cardinals, you know, step up. Because I do remember that. It was that basically it was like I never asked them for a second opt-out, but he felt like he could have probably gotten it from them.
Yeah.
So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
And my faulty memory may be completely wrong, but that's what I kind of remember. And hit up Gould and he can show you a link to a article in the paper. So Anyway, we're 20-something minutes in. I don't know if we've talked about the Cardinals yet or not, but that's, I guess our non-no counts. But it is winter warm-up weekend, as we were as kind of referred to. And, you know, it's not really a big news time, because the players come and you get everybody together, and that's good. And, you know, you get articles and interviews, and we've got a couple of the UCB there, you know, doing all that stuff. But the players are mainly talking in cliches, and they're mainly talking about their winter and all this kind of stuff. John Mozeliak does a, you know, question and answer with the press, and then he does a question and answer with the fans and things like that. I guess one thing that came out today, and I don't think it came out, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't even know why it was mentioned. But I guess a fan asked something about Tommy Edman playing more because he led the team in hitting. And John Mozeliak said, well, what do you mean he led the team in hitting? And he said, well, he had the highest batting average. And John Mozeliak said, well, we don't look at batting average. I don't think that's controversial. I don't think that's news. I don't think that I would be very concerned if they were focusing on batting average. But it seems to have been something that people picked up on today, which seemed a little strange to me. Alan? Alan. All right. I have bored Alan to death. He has gone to sleep, which is fair. I mean, what do you expect when you hear me rattle on for too long? Hopefully he'll come back to us here pretty soon. But anyway, John Mozeliak, yeah, again, talking about batting average. And, you know, this is not a team that is unfamiliar with analytics. I mean, this is not a team that doesn't do that kind of stuff. This is a team that, you know, for whatever it's worth here, you know, did have Jeff Lundell. I mean, that's where Jeff Lundell, again, we're not going to get into what he did in Houston, but there he is.
Okay,
he is.
Good deal. I don't know what happened right there. Sorry about that.
That's all right. So I don't know how much of that or any of that you heard.
No, yeah, no, I heard the whole question, and it was funny. Yeah, whenever I believe it was Fredrickson that put that out on Twitter about you know, get ready for some responses on this one. I thought the same thing. At first, I was like, oh, good, maybe they'll clarify that a little bit, and they didn't really, but. You know, yeah, people did kind of jump on it. I didn't think it was super controversial, but maybe some people did. I don't know. I saw a bunch of tweets after that of everybody was talking about, well, you know how OPS Plus is derived, and it's in there and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, well, that's interesting. But, yeah, I don't think it was much earth-shattering information on that.
I wouldn't think so. And like I say, I mean – do they know what Harrison Bader's batting average was last year? Yes. Do they know what his average was against lefties, against, you know, non-fastballs, all that kind of stuff? Yeah, they know that. But doesn't mean that they're making their decisions on the fact that, you know, Tyler O'Neill hit 230 or whatever it would be, then, you know, he's not going to play this year because he hit 230. Well, that's silly, and not going to happen. I mean, this is a team that's well advanced in analytics, and they've got their own algorithms, and they've got numbers that they're looking at. And yeah, I mean, nobody in baseball is looking at batting average as a real, you know, evaluating tool. I mean, it's in there. They'll know it. They might look at it in some sort of context, but it's not going to be a deciding factor.
Yeah, and it's funny. I would love to be behind closed doors to see actually how they do determine things. You know, it's funny just being as open as they were on that. I completely agree. And it's funny, like, personally, I don't know why I never really take batting average into account and really don't look at it as much as I probably should. You know, I'm a big doubles and home runs guy just to see what it is. And then I'm kind of a weighted runs created plus fan just to kind of see the overall. And people have even pointed out that that's a dated stat. So on a personal level, I can kind of see where they're coming from, but I have no insight on how they look into things and the algorithms that they establish to rate these guys.
I mean, I I'm not saying that I use it, I look at it, but I, you know, I am a guy that grew up.
Absolutely, on that one.
Early, you know, when the baseball card stats were what we used. And so I'm still going to default to that, but I'm not saying that's how you evaluate people. I know that there's much better ways to evaluate, you know. It makes me feel older than anything to hear you say that WRC Plus is a flawed stat or dated stat now.
Well, no, I completely agree. I never looked at it that way, but when somebody posted that today, I was like, wow, man, am I already behind on that one? That's kind of what I thought, honestly.
I mean, I'm not even sure. I mean, I know it and stuff like that, but I wouldn't say I'm familiar with it. So that's, that's great. I'm even farther behind, which is not a big surprise, I don't think. But anyway, so yeah, you know, and I think that's really the only thing that came out of Mosey Locke's talk. I mean, you know, like I said, we didn't roll out making a trade, but as he always does, he says, we're happy with the team we have now. If we have a chance to upgrade it, we will, but we're good with it, blah, 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 blah. It did sound like right now that they plan on starting Dexter Fowler out in right field, and Harrison Bader is probably the default guy for center, although I don't think they've ruled out him being beaten out in spring. You know, as much as we'd like to see a, you know, outfield that was like a Carlson Thompson or Carlson Thomas and Bader or whatever the case may be, it just doesn't look like that's going to be the case. I mean, and that's not surprising. I mean, not surprising that they're going to give Dexter Fowler every bit of rope that he can, especially since he did bounce back a little bit last year. But it's a little tough to swallow that they're already kind of putting him in, and if not in pen, then a very heavy pencil.
Yeah, yeah, and it's you're right. It's not surprising in the least bit, but it does kind of feel like this is one of those. I put the air marks around competition when we hear that, because a lot of times those are decided well before spring even starts. Right. And I was hoping that it would not be one of those, but it kind of builds up to where it probably will be. I kind of felt like that Thomas was going to be in the mix, and that Williams was going to be in the mix, but in the beginning, they wanted to see what a run of O'Neill, Bader, and Fowler would look like, and to make sure Thomas was healthy, and to see where everybody else lands. And I thought the trade of a Rosarena kind of pointed to that a little bit more. You know, like I made the comment last week. As much as I would probably like to see another deal, because I think they're being quiet on whether they want. I think they're trying to be quiet in their pursuit of another offensive weapon. I think they're trying to downplay it a little bit, but I felt like last week's trade of Rosarena meant more to O'Neill than anybody, that he's going to get a bulk of the share in left field to at least start if he has a fairly decent spring. And this is all goes without saying anything about Carlson, who I think they have some hopes on. And I just wonder if the exposure last year in center, in which I assume he'll probably get a fair share of this year in Memphis to start, if it's not going to be a situation to where they're kind of penciling him to be another center fielder or right fielder option if they need be, preferably, but left field if he has to be. You know what I mean by that? Sure. Like, he's going to have to jump a few guys, but they're going to be ready for whatever guy he jumps. That's who he's replacing. So that being said, I'm not surprised they're saying the things that they are. But I'm not so certain they fully believe that's the best way to go. I know that he also made the comment of what gives them some enthusiasm going into the season is that actually two players actually achieved at or over, you know, their projections, and that they feel like that a bunch of those guys are going to turn the corner. One of those being Carpenter. And, you know, I know that the jury's still out on that, because, I mean, you've pointed out long-term numbers that show that, well, maybe that last year wasn't as good as we think it was, and there was a more elongated period of struggle than just a few months. But, you know, to go back to it, I think that's probably the way they'll go with the lineup to start. It actually kind of may help them in as far as how they're going to truly line everybody up in a way, because I think that you've got the default leadoff guy in Fowler, where you don't necessarily have the the guy to take that place yet, where you probably hope it's going to be a Wong or be Edmund lead off and then play a different position every day. I don't know. And that may help him out in the beginning. But I just feel like everything that I just said, it still leads to just more questions that they have that I feel like they can always answer a little bit easier than they do.
Probably. I will say, I'm not just overly enamored with open competition in spring, just because they're so limited. I mean, it's such a small sample size. I mean, what, people could get 50 at bats or whatever. If you have a good week, you know, that could be enough to give you the numbers that make you look like, you know, you won the competition. So, I mean, I know they don't, I'm sure there's other ways that they judge that, but you do run the risk of a guy that got hot in Jupiter may have hit, you know, by the time he gets into the regular season, you know, maybe about the time he hits a cold streak too. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can only do what you can do. I mean, but I don't fault the team too much for bringing in information from past years. You know, spring's got to play some role. I mean, it's got to count for something. I just don't know that it's got to count for everything. I mean, we saw that last year. I mean, what, Tommy Edman had a very good spring and it didn't get him on the roster until later on, but it does give them a good spring, put you on the radar, and it lets you know that you can, you know, they know you can, you know, you may have faced some major league pitchers. Now you may be facing a lot of minor league pitchers or guys that are, you know, the back end. You're not facing the ace of the staff more than once, if that, you know, in a game, but, you know, it does give them something.
Yeah, a good recent example of what you mean is look that, you know, Yairo Munoz hit his way onto this team a couple years ago, and then when he got up, the lights were a little too bright for him. Right. And, you know, that was probably facing the, you know, the top-tier guys a little bit more. But, yeah, so I know exactly what you mean.
We got to hear from, let's see, Harrison Bader was there today. Carlos Martinez was there today. Alex Reyes was there today. Tyler O'Neill, I saw, was there today. Not sure about anybody else. Those are the ones I know I saw comments and interviews from. I'm sure there were more, but those are the ones I'm thinking of.
Well, Woodford was there, but I didn't see any quotes or anything.
Yeah, that's true. I did see a picture, but I didn't hear anything about from Woodward. You know, Bader and O'Neill both basically say, hey, look, that's my job. I center or left, that's depending on the player. I'm coming to camp with the idea that that's my job and I'm going to take it, which is a good attitude to have. Don't get me wrong. That's the way they should be coming into it. I'm just hopeful that that's true. I'm hopeful that they've made, you know, Bader, I think, says he's kind of felt like he's made some adjustments. Dylan O'Neill feels like he's made some adjustments. You know, they've had another offseason to work on the Jeff Albert curriculum and things of that nature. So we'll see. I'm hopeful that that's the way it's going to work. And I guess it's, you know, again, I don't know that you would hear them say anything different. I think it'd be weird to say, no, I don't, you know, I'm sure somebody else is going to, you know, that Carlson kid's going to take my job. You know, I don't think that's what they're going to say.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, hey, you know, what can I do? But it, you know, I guess it's like I said, it's that time where we're going to get the cliches, but it's good to know that they're at least, they know what they need to do and they're focused on doing it. And, you know, we just have to see if they can do it.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's funny, cliche. I'm glad you bring that up because it's a lot of coach speak, you know, per se, you know, when we go, but it's nice to see everybody. It's just nice to look at it as the jumping point for the season. I've always kind of thought that, you know, you leave and like I said, there's been deals done before, you know, Grichuk was at the meeting and he got traded and that's happened before. And you just wonder if that's not going to be the case with some of these guys. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess that's the mindset you're going to have coming in, and that's what you want to see out of it. But you just wonder. I mean, you know, I truly want to see guys compete and get a chance, and I don't want to see Bader have the two at bats and sit, and you know, and then just hear that he worked on things a lot and, you know, he's your opening day center fielder. You know what I mean? And nothing against Bader and nothing against O'Neill. I would honestly like that to be the opening day outfield of having O'Neill, Bader and Fowler. But, you know, you just kind of wonder what else they could say.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much. Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that. It's you know, there's some guys coming to this winter warm-up that are coming to their last winter warm-up. They just don't know it. And the club doesn't know it either. I mean, don't get me wrong, but you know, that's just the way of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, Randy Arozarena thought he was going to, going to warm up this week. And, he's not, he's going to Race Fest or whatever. You know, things change. So, but yeah, it was good to see them. I think maybe you get a little bit more information on some of the guys like Carlos Martinez, who says he's healthy. He's planning on being a starter. He's throwing a bullpen, I think, tomorrow. And everything seems to be doing well. I think he says he feels better than he's felt in a long time. That's the best shape of his life type of thing. But it really sounds like, and I don't know, maybe signing of Kim was a little bit of a fire under the backside, but it really sounds like he's more focused on being a starter than we've maybe heard from him in a while.
True. I like to hear that, actually. I really like to read the reports on Martinez and Reyes, because they're two of my favorites. And like I told you beforehand, I kind of don't like talking about Reyes, because then it sets my sights up and I get a little too amped up. But to see those two there and looking good and saying the things as they said, I liked that. I go, that can make for a good, great ball club, and hopefully they can start reaching some expectations. And selfishly, I hope there's one day that we see a rotation that both of them will be a part of. I did think it was interesting, and it's funny just thinking back on some of the closing options if Martinez were to just completely take and run. They'd make him so much better if he was in the rotation, and not because he was a terrible closer, but just because I think that he has elite starter stuff once, if we could ever reach that point again. But Helsley was there today as well. I did notice that. Not that I saw any quotes. I was just kind of thinking of some guys that I did see. And I tried to follow most of the day today while I was watching hoops and see who all was there and what information I could get that I know that you and I'd be relaying tonight. But I know that Helsley was there, and you just wonder how much he's going to mix into that closer's role or that, the late inning role. And there's just a lot of possibilities, and it's intriguing that Martinez said the same things that he said today. Not that he wasn't going to say he didn't want to start or anything like that, but you know, it is interesting, and that's the direction I'd like to see it go.
Yeah. I hope so. And like you said, and Alex Reyes, it was really interesting to see or hear, and it wasn't just today. I think we've heard this before, but how the club made sure he got away. Excuse me, that he didn't spend his time in Jupiter, that he didn't spend it where he's been doing all this rehab, that he, you know, I think he may have gone to the Dominican this winter. I'm not 100% sure.
I think so. I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And it sounds like, again, he's going to be ready to go. Now, again, we don't count on that. And you hate to see that. You like to hear that, but you don't count on that necessarily just because it's Alex Reyes. Now, that said, you know, Reyes had all his stuff early on enough that he should be healthy. And, you know, he's got a couple options still, I believe. I'd have to go look it up. You know, he can go to Memphis for a while, and if he's looking good, then, you know, the Cardinals can figure out what they're going to do with him. You know, one of these years, excuse me, one of these years, you got to figure that it's going to all click for him, and at least he's going to have a healthy season. And hopefully that's this year, and we can see, at least get an idea of what Alex Reyes actually has.
Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping for. That's why I hope, you know, I try to temper expectations. I hope everybody else does the same. And there's an element that you kind of hope there are some of those people that truly have given up on him. So anything that he does achieve is going to be positive in their eyes. So it is, it's interesting. I thought he looked good. I thought he looked really thin. Hopefully that means health and prosperity this year.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, there's, of course, you know, we have seen sometimes where players lose too much weight or too much and they need to build a little bit back on, but, you know, probably not.
That's what I need to do. I need to lose too much weight and try to build some back on. I need to lose any weight at all. That's what I need to do.
Yeah. I just do the build on part. I just
Yeah, I'm good with that. I mean, that the milkshake that I had just a little bit ago proves how much I like to build it back on.
I understand that. I absolutely. So, so yeah, I know I've heard Kyle talk about it on Prospects After Dark about how he basically doesn't even think about Alex Reyes anymore. And until he sees Alex Reyes pitching consistently on a major league, on a major league mound, that he's not going to give any credence to it. I'm not going to count on him or anything. And that, I think that's just where you got to be. I mean, anything you get Alex Reyes this year is a great bonus. But we've spent too many times counting on it. And I think that the Cardinals have done that too. I mean, that's why they went out. One of the reasons they went out and got KK from Korea is, you know, if you wanted to count on Carlos Martinez being a starter or Alex Reyes being a starter, you don't do that. But you can't count on either one of those guys right now. I mean, you feel good about it and you feel pretty confident that maybe they can, but you can't guarantee it. And so you got to have some reinsurance.
Yeah. I mean, all hands on deck type situation. And that's, you know, it's intriguing just to see some of the names. And I know last year we heard a lot of the same names and they were looking for innings at some point, but yeah, I mean, it's we want to see some of these guys succeed, and we're fairly confident that they will. And I think that some of we like the names, and want to see them go out and play well. You know, that's just kind of the nature of the beast, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. So, was there anything else that kind of stood out from you? Like I said, I guess the other thing we can talk about, the Cardinals are really looking to try to bring back Matt Wieters. It's basically,
I like that.
It makes sense. As much as I'd like to see Andrew Kisner play more often, a backup to Yachty just didn't.
Yeah,
you know, a guy that's gonna play. I mean, and if he's here in St. Louis, I guess he's only gonna get, you know, what, 100 at bats maybe in the year. You know, and he needs to do more than that. I hate to send him back to Memphis because I'm not sure how much he's got left to learn down there, but at least he can play every day.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that the new roster configurations are going to allow that to maybe be easier, because I think that what you may see is, at least for the first part of the season, if Wieters comes back, and for them to say the things they did today, I have a feeling that's probably going to be – that will probably be announced here fairly quickly. For them to say the things that they did, I wonder if some of their long-term goal, like if you had told me to ask me at the end of the season if I thought this would happen, I'd say no, there's no way they're going to spend money on that spot. It's going to be Kisner, and we're going to probably hate it because he's probably not going to play very much. Well, with the 26th man, I think that you can play with that and manipulate it a little bit, and that allows you to play that third catcher, which I think they liked to do last year because they liked that left-handed presence off the bench that Wieters gave them. Mm-hmm. And I think that they will probably do a lot of that this year, that we will probably see probably at least a few month period where he's down in Memphis being Kisner, and then come up as that third catcher at some point during the season, to where he would take over some of that backup catching duty, and that we would see more of a pinch hit type role for Wieters, you know, barring any injury, which almost every year you're going to have some injury out of a catcher that's going to take some time away. So I think they can divvy up the playing time to where it doesn't stall his development, and also to where it doesn't stall his development in the big leagues, and it allows Kisner to play a little bit in Memphis with the prospect that he'll be up for probably an elongated period of time like he was last year, and that it wouldn't take someone getting hurt to do that, that they're going to have a place on the roster for him to where they can kind of transition that spot into Wieters as another pseudo backup catcher, but a left-handed bat off the bench. And I think that answers a lot of questions since they were looking for left-handed sticks anyway.
Yeah, maybe. I can see that for sure. But it also makes me feel like if Andrew Kisner comes up and be that third catcher, it's even less chances for him to play. You know, I mean, because you're right. If they use Yachty and then they use Wieters as that pinch hitter, then they're probably not using Kisner. And so
unless you run for Molina. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. I think you can be creative on how you do it.
Well, but, you know, I think, and I've thought this often, that teams could be much more creative, not even creative, but you know, like even if they just had Wieters and Yachty, if Wieters needs to pinch hit in the eighth inning or seventh or eighth inning, you know, you should be fine because, I mean, the odds of Yachty getting hurt in that last inning are slim. You know what I'm saying? But they don't do that very often. They still want to hold that guy back. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I understand it to some degree, but I think that you could pinch hit a little bit more. And so I think that if you did see three of them on the roster, you'd see a lot of Andrew Kisner just not getting a whole lot of time. Maybe not. I think, you know, Mike Shildt has said that he was he really didn't use Randy Rosarena well last year. He didn't use Lane Thomas well last year. And maybe he would be more open to using some of these young guys, but I don't know. I just feel like that's a situation that's not going to work well for Kisner, but you know, I don't know that there is a situation with a team that has Yadier Molina on it, that it's going to work well for a young catcher. I mean, you know, we've talked about who's going to take over for Yachty for a long time, but you know, it still may be what Ivan Herrera's down in single A, right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, think of all the names that we've heard of that, yeah. You know what I mean? It's pretty interesting.
So it could be a few more years. And that's going to be, I mean, that's going to be the interesting thing when Yachty, because Yachty usually shows up the last day. So we'll see what kind of talk he gets about a contract extension and then spring training if they get that done. But, you know, we'll see if he's willing to, how long more he plans to play. I mean, you know, when he signed this deal in what, 17, whatever it was, he said that was going to be it. I don't think anybody believes that this is the last year for Yachty or Molina.
Yeah, no, I do not.
Yeah. So, but anyway, and that means that Andrew Kisner is also available to trade to Colorado if they need to, which is turns us back to where we were at the beginning of things. So they yeah. Go back to Nolan Arenado eventually until they make that deal, if they ever make that deal. So, all right. Anything else? Like I said, I didn't catch a lot from today, but I don't know that there's a whole lot to catch.
No, I completely agree. I try to keep us up as best as possible. I don't think we missed on anything, but we very well could have. I'm fairly confident that we will get more tomorrow that will yeah. Kind of supplant what happened today anyway. So, you know what I mean? It's every day will be something different until we get to Jupiter.
Yep. Most likely. So, you know, just keep an eye out on Twitter. Keep an eye out on, you know, I know the Cardinal or the UCB representatives, Brian Swope, who's at Papa Swope on Twitter. Chelsea Brooke or Chelsea. Yeah, I think that's her last. I don't know. True. Anyway, Chelsea Brooke with an E on Twitter. And then, of course, Mr. Kyle Reese, who everybody knows already. They're covering it for us. So look for them. Looking for them, see if they're posting stuff on Birds of the Black or wherever they're writing or they're discovering on a Twitter. Should be some interesting information out there on the next couple of days. So next week, Al and I are scheduled to have Mark Saxon join us. So we'll see maybe a different day depending on our schedules and his schedule. But until then, I'm Daniel. That's Alan.
Night. Good night.
Sooner from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!